Megan, I have been using our sponsor Element, that's L-M-N-T, to boost my hydration for over a month now, and I'm really loving it. I'm just not very good at drinking plain water, and I love the taste when I pop one of these little packets, I like orange or grapefruit, into a big bottle of water. It's kind of fruity and salty, and it just helps me hydrate better overall.
Element is a zero-sugar electrolyte drink mix born from the growing body of research that shows the best health outcomes occur with higher sodium levels. Each little pack delivers a significant dose of electrolytes, but minus sugar, artificial colors, and other iffy ingredients. Element's flavors are so unique, like fruity watermelon salt and spicy sweet mango chili. And we're going to set our listeners up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite.
Right. You can receive a free Element sample pack containing 8 flavors with any drink mix purchase when you purchase through our custom link, drinkelement.com/momhour. That's DRINKELMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership and is available for both new and returning customers. And if you're an Element insider, you'll have first access to Element Sparkling, a bold can of sparkling electrolyte water. Again, it's drinklmnt.com/momhour.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, and we're the hosts of The Mom Hour.
On this show, we're joined by a team of unique mom voices from across the country and in different stages of motherhood to bring you tips, ideas, and encouragement, and to help you feel a little less alone.
We all know that motherhood is a lot easier when real moms share honest truths and remind each other that it's all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to The Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 427 of The Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, here with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan, how are you?
Hey, Sarah. How are you liking your hair today?
Well, we're going to talk about that. Like, you know, this minute, maybe not so much. But in general, I'm kind of loving my hair right now.
Yeah, right now, my hair is kind of somewhere on the meh, I'm going to say, like in the meh range. But overall, I'm in a transitional period. I can't wait to hear about your transitional period because I know you've been having one for the last like year now. Yeah. And I'm excited to hear more about it.
Yeah, so this is what we're talking about today. This is what you have opted into, friends, if you're listening to this episode. It's a little fluffy, a little frivolous, but hey, we like to do that on occasion here at the Mom Hour. It's actually similar to like a More Than Mom episode that we would typically do on a Sunday, but I don't know, we're in charge, Megan. There are 5 Tuesdays in August. We just decided we're talking about hair today.
Well, you know, I also have to say that hair is a big topic for moms because often, you know, if you're really busy and like just running around and got a toddler on your hip, like no matter what stage you are of motherhood, your hair is the thing that probably sets the tone for how you feel about yourself going out into the world. And it like, it says a lot. It says a lot about the stage you're in. So this is the stage that we're in right now. And we're going to talk about our hair in the stage of life that we're in right now. But I think we've had other episodes where we've talked about our hair in different stages of motherhood.
Definitely. And that we're calling this episode Beyond the Mom Bun, like wink, wink, because we've both gone through phases of life where there was kind of like a perma messy bun. Or for you, Megan, you just chopped all yours off at one point and like didn't deal with it at all for a decade. So we are definitely coming out of that, I would say, in our midlife, in our 40s. And it is fun to talk about.
Do I have
to,
though? Because now I'm kind of back to it. Well, I'll talk about a little bit more about that. I'm now back to like my 46-year-old version of the mom bun.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's any better.
Yeah,
but
well, it's different.
Yes.
Well, shout out to our listener, Kyla, who is from Australia, which is really fun. But when we posted at the very end of June, we posted on Instagram that we were taking kind of the month off. And you all know that by now we did it something different with the schedule in July. And in that Instagram post, we each had a selfie up. And Kyla commented and just said, can I request a More Than Mom episode on hair, your current hair situation, style, styling, etc., please, based on these awesome pics, which first of all, that's very flattering. I mean, I think we chose photos that we generally felt looked like us and were flattering, but I don't show my gray grow out face that often, like in a photo. So I have gotten some requests to talk about growing out the grays, and Kyla requested a hair episode. So Kyla, here we are. It's what we're talking about today.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I guess, I mean, should we just jump in by saying, just giving kind of the temperature read? Cause I know we're going to talk a lot about your gray journey. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe we can start by just saying like where, how we feel about our hair right now and what's going on with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can go first. I mean, right now, this minute, like I'm touching my head to feel what did I do? So I went for a walk this morning. I pulled my hair into like a high ponytail and then flipped it under. It's not quite the bun, but you know, the flipped under ponytail. So right this moment, my hair does not look cute. As we will get into, I have been growing out my grays for almost a year as of this recording, about 11 months as of this recording. So when my hair is pulled back, you see all of the gray growth, but there's nothing styling happening right now this minute. And a little later, I'll talk about like how that impacts how I feel about myself with the gray, but it's a pretty typical look for morning when I haven't done anything or gone anywhere. But I would say generally right now, like right now, August 2023, I am really happy with my hair. Like when I take the time to style it and right now the cut that I have, the stage that the gray growth is in, and I would say the general like healthiness of my hair, I'm in a really good hair state. So that's like a two-part answer. Like, no, it does not look cute at this exact moment in time. But these days in general, I'm really happy with it.
So tell me, just so we can get a visual of you sitting there in your like completely faked bun, how many inches of gray would you say you have at this point?
That's a great question. I am going to say 5 to 6, something
that. It's quite significant. Like,
yeah, actually, well, here's a good way to picture it. I always love like a pretty high ponytail. So if I pull back to a high ponytail, the gray now reaches the rubber band and you can even see like the other side of the rubber band, the very, very top of the ponytail itself is gray. So does that make sense? So, and that's with a high pony.
Yeah. And I mean, I know you'll probably share some photos, but I have been struck by how different that 5 inches looks depending. Because it's like it can sometimes look like it's literally all the hair on top of your head.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it looks like it's just kind of sprinkled through and really not like that. So I'm sure that impacts as well how you feel about it.
We will get into what is, I guess, called your gray pattern. Like everybody has a different gray pattern. And I didn't really know what mine was. But yeah, we'll get into that.
Okay. Well, I'll talk a little bit about how my hair is right this very moment. It is in a claw clip. That is my new version of the mom bun.
Sure.
Because they came back into style and you can find them everywhere now. And in a lot of ways, I like it better than having to mess with a scrunchie or bobby pins. It's just so easy. I think it looks cute enough, I guess.
Okay, I'm already stopping you. Are you doing the claw clip like your hair is being pulled down more to a low pony and then you twist it up and claw it from there? Or what else?
Well, how are you claw clipping? At this very moment, I sort of, because my hair has gotten pretty long, so I sort of twist it and I make like a little loop at the top.
Yep, I know exactly what you
mean. And then I clip it further down. I have found there is a direct relationship between the height of my clippy, the stuff that's sticking out, and how I feel about it. It's kind of like the more haphazard it looks, the better.
Yeah.
And if it's too low, it looks very severe, I think. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll give you a little background. I had a pixie or some kind of short hair for a really long time. So I had like kind of shortish hair through most of my 20s. Well, almost all my 20s. I had shortish to short hair. And then at about 32 or 33, I cut it really, really short and had a pixie until about 38. And then I started growing it out. I would say by 6 years ago, so by about 40, it looked long. Like it didn't look like growing out hair anymore.
Yeah, it was like shoulder length
or
ponytail length. Yeah.
Yeah. And I very purposely did not get layers cut in. I didn't cut it for a style. I kind of purposely didn't want to do that because for so long I had such styled hair, and you know how that is. It's like a totally different thing. Having a cut that you need to arrange a certain way every day and use certain product. So that was my life for a really long time. And although that was very quick and easy when my kids were little, like it took no time at all to do a pixie. It still, if I didn't do anything with it, you could tell like it still had something had to be done. Right.
Yeah.
And I was kind of ready to go in a very different direction and just have like high school hair. That's what I thought of it. Just like long.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Sort of shapeless flowing hair. when I, yeah, well, it's well, because when I think back to high school, it's very similar. Like when I'd curl it for a football game, I looked great. And then there was like every day of the way I went to school, which was not great. It was like, I took a shower 20 minutes ago and now it's going to slowly air dry and, you know, all the things. So that's how I feel about it now. Like if I take the time right now to blow it all the way dry or curl it or do something, do, you know, flat iron waves or something like that, I feel good about it. But like, I'm finding that less and less am I doing that. And more I am reverting to this sort of clipped look. Now the clip bun I have noticed is like preferable to a ponytail because when I do a ponytail, it pulls back really hard. Yeah. And I've always had widow's peaks. And I don't know if as I'm getting older, if they're actually getting more pronounced and thinner, or if it's just that I'm more like more self-conscious about possibly looking like I'm balding, but like it really, like I have quite distinctive widow's peaks. So it looks best if I have like little fringes of hair down on the sides. Uh-huh. And I had bangs about 4 years ago and those still create this nice little, you know, the little fringes, right? They're not all the way grown out. It's a lot easier to do that with a clip because I can mess with it more and it's looser.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between like a clip, even a clip bun that takes, you know, 30 seconds to 90 seconds at most, sometimes 5 seconds. That can be done with intention and look cute, or it can look kind of crummy. So even the way I feel about my clip bun changes from day to day.
And I would say, because I've been doing the claw clip a bit lately too, I would also say that whether how your hair has dried and been styled or lack of style totally influences how cute the clip bun looks. Like I have for a long time lived under this fallacy that like the messy pony or the clip is for when you didn't dry or style your hair. But actually, if I dry and style my hair cute, then let's say I do like a clippy the next day, it also looks cute. Like what I am learning is like the taking the time to style my hair once really pays major dividends for the next like 4 or 5 days. Because
it does. Yeah. Your everything will look better from putting it up to just brushing it out the next day or whatever. Even if the curl is basically gone, it still just looks better. And it, maybe it's summer, you know, we're like at the end tail end of summer. And I wonder if I've just run out of steam, but anyway, all that is to say, I do feel like maybe I'm ready to consider a style again, maybe, but I've also decided, I think I'm ready to stop dyeing my hair at home. Now this is a big, I don't know, like, change for me, right? Because I have been dyeing my hair mostly at home. Like I might go to the salon once, twice a year, and that's on a good, in a good year. Yeah. You know, since COVID, I don't think I went at all. I very much mostly do it at home, including sometimes highlights. Like sometimes I'll buy that. I think it's maybe L'Oreal has a kit with the highlights built in. It's like the red box and it's got, and anyway, and I feel fine about it. But what I'm noticing is that in order to keep the brassiness at bay, I have to, it's not even really my roots. It's the fact that my hair wants to get really brassy. I'm having to do it so much. I actually think it's a waste of money now. Yeah. It used to feel really economical because I could do a box every 6 weeks for, you know, $6 or $7 and it looked fine. I'm not doing way crazy colors. I'm basically doing the same two shades of a cooler blonde to kind of tame down the brassiness. Over and over and over, but now it's not really cutting it. Mm-hmm. So if I just keep doing it, it's like I'm using way too much. I'm doing it too often. It's probably not good for my hair. So I did go before I got married. I went to a salon and she didn't understand the assignment the first time. Okay. The stylist, my hair was way too dark. Like I don't know what she was thinking. It was not what I asked for, but I went back.
Does that mean that your wedding photos were, did that impact how you felt at your wedding? We never really talked about that.
Oh, she fixed it before. Oh, like okay. I went back like the day before I
left. Got it.
And was like, no, you need to fix this because this isn't what I asked for. And then she got it. And she said, okay, so from now on, if you don't want to keep using all over, I think it's because I had her do an all over color and highlights and the all over color. Well, there was a few reasons. Maybe I shouldn't be going to the stylist anymore. But, you know, sometimes just getting in with someone, it's like half the battle. So she did an all over color that was too dark. And I even said, I just think that's darker than I want to go in one shade, like in one jump. And she said, well, that's that looks like your natural color. It matches. And I said, I know, but like my natural color is only goes half an inch and then everything else kind of just always goes back to really blonde. Even if I were to bring it down a couple shades with dye, it would sort of end up lightening back up again. Mm-hmm. So I said, I just don't think this is going to look right. Then she also did the highlights with the all over color, which I had never seen done before. And I said, I didn't even know you could do that. And she said, some people don't, but I do. And I was like, oh, well, what happened is the highlights really didn't take.
Yeah.
And then when I came back, she said, yeah, that's the thing with all over doing the all over color and the highlights at the same time. Then you can't put someone under the heat.
Okay.
Because the whole thing would bake in and then the all over color would just run everywhere. So I was like, well, then why did you do it that way? Like, yeah, if you knew it wouldn't work, but it felt like maybe she was just trying to make it go fast.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, I went back in. She fixed it. And then she said, if you want to avoid the all over color in the future, I would recommend doing low lights and highlights from now on. And so I went back and had just low lights put in like 3 weeks ago. And I'm pretty happy with it.
Okay.
So here I am on this precipice of A, possibly getting a new style of some sort, some undetermined
cut.
Sort.
Yeah.
A cut. And maybe also stop home dyeing, and then I would let my temples go gray. Because really the only thing that's consistently gray is from like my widow's peak down to my ears. Mm-hmm. So the sides of my face and my temples. So I'm not going to be doing like what you're doing. I'm not even sure my hair would do what yours is doing right now. But I'm very eager to hear more about your gray journey because I might be on some version of it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to talk about. Megan, the end of the school year and kickoff to summer is a busy time of the year for families, but we can all eat stress-free and hit our wellness goals with ready-to-eat meals from our sponsor, Factor.
Factor's delicious meals are never frozen and can be ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can pick from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular choices like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Plus, they have more than 60 add-ons like breakfast, lunch, snacks, and beverages to keep you fueled all day long.
So our team was comparing notes recently on our favorite Factor meals, and Katie loved the herb-crusted chicken with mashed cauliflower and toasted almond green beans. I loved that one too. And get this, so did her little boy, Charlie. She heated it up for lunch one day, and Charlie, who's 3, ate almost all of the green beans. I mean, that's quite an endorsement, right?
I was going to say, what a parenting win. And I get it, Charlie. Those green beans are crazy good. And if you really want to treat yourself, they even have meals with filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Listeners, head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code MOMHOUR50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code MOMHOUR50 at factormeals.com/momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Okay, Megan, like many of our listeners, I'm sure, I've been doing some spring cleaning in my closet lately, and it always feels so good to get rid of clothes I'm not wearing, things that don't fit or that aren't my style anymore. But you know what I realized? All of my Vionic shoes are always in the keep pile. They just tick all the boxes. They're cute, comfy, high quality. They last forever. And I love growing my Vionic collection, especially with the latest styles from their Vionic Vitals collection.
The Vionic Vitals collection offers daily wear styles designed for elegance, comfort, and versatility. We both love the Uptown Loafer, which collapses flat, so it's perfect for travel. The Chardonnay Heeled Sandal, which I know you love, Sarah. The Walk 23 Classic Sneaker, which our team member Katie gets compliments on all the time. And the Willa Slip-On Flat, one of my favorites, which comes in 12 colors for any outfit.
Yeah, I need to get the Willa Slip-On Flat. That's next on my list. Well, listeners, if you're ready to try the shoes we're always raving about, use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's one-time use only. Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
Okay, Sarah, so I've got some questions about your gray grow out. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm in the hot seat.
Well, let's just start with why. Why, Sarah?
Why?
Why did you do this to yourself and all of us? No, kidding. I really like your gray, but I'm sure it was a big decision.
Yeah. So I had been fighting the battle of like, if I wanted to cover my grays, it was getting an increasingly like full-time job, basically. Before COVID, I was going into the salon and I had a great stylist who didn't charge me a whole lot, but I still, and it, we did it quickly, but I was at every 5 weeks and this is before COVID. So this is like in 2019, I was at every 5 weeks in the salon, and that was more time and money that I wanted to be spending. And 5 weeks already was stretching it. And this is now like 4 years ago. So by week three and four, I was using a spray sometimes where I was feeling self-conscious. Okay. So then COVID, and during COVID, I learned to do it at home. And I actually really liked that for a couple of years. So there's the piece of it that just like, if you're covering your grays, it becomes an increasingly, it's like a losing battle because my hair is getting grayer and my hair grows pretty fast. So, and I liked my hair in a dark brown. So unlike a blonde, where you can get away with a little bit more, like it's not, the contrast isn't so great. My contrast was always like really noticeable to me. So there's that piece of it.
Sarah, I want to really quickly interrupt you because I think that there are listeners we've heard from over the years who are really surprised to hear that I'm the blonde and you're the brunette.
I was going to say always, not always, but many people have told us that they picture us the opposite, that they picture.
Mm-hmm. So if that was you, you might be like, wait, what? I am the blonde and Sarah's the brunette.
This is the episode where you find out.
So yeah, it's a really different thing growing gray hair out on dark brown hair.
Yeah. And I was actually coloring my hair a couple shades darker than natural. My natural brown, I mean, now my hair is salt and pepper natural, but my natural brown is pretty ashy. It's a pretty mid-level. It's not my favorite brown, to be honest. And I was actually dyeing it a deeper, kind of richer, warmer, dark brown. And so then the contrast was even more. And of course, the where my gray grows is like you all around my face. So it just felt really obvious. Although I guess it's obvious too, for those who have really gray in their part, that also can be very obvious. And my part is not as gray. So you still asked why. The why was I felt like if I do it now, I will get to see what my whole head looks like when I'm, I guess, midway gray. And I thought if I wait another 10 years, so I'm 43 right now. I was 42 when I started this process. And I started getting pretty gray in my early 30s. I thought if I wait another 10 years, it will be more like socially acceptable, I guess, or more I'll be in better company of women who lots of gray haired women around me if I wait till my mid 50s, say. But then I'm going to be completely gray if I wait until then. And I thought I might be kind of sad to not know, like, what was my whole head of hair like when I was in this halfway process. And there was like a real pull toward, this is almost like a little woo woo, but there was a pull toward like, my body is actually mid evolution right now. It's changing in this really like pretty significant way. And I'm not witnessing it because I'm covering it up. And so that like gets into a little like woo woo or psychology, but I felt like I wanted to actually know what was happening. And then also it's easy to get influenced by the Instagrammers who are going gray. And there's a lot of, I felt this pull toward, like, I want to be a fashionable gray haired person. Like, I don't want to stop dyeing it and stop caring. I actually want to care a lot about my hairstyle and the products I use and have a lot of fun with hair. I just want to do it with gray hair.
Okay. So this sounds like it could be, I agree, like exciting to see what it looks like. 'Cause you have no idea. It's like,
it's a total surprise.
Mystery and a surprise. And also inspiring because you're being inspired and influenced by all the other people who, including young women who are purposely dyeing their hair really beautiful shades of silver and like purpley silver and stuff. So there's all that going on. But then there's like the, how do I do this? So did you just do it or did you work with a stylist? Like, how did you decide how to grow it out? I mean, that sounds so dumb because it's like you just let it grow. Yeah. But I know there's got to be, you're Sarah, so there's got to be some strategery here.
Well, actually, what I did was realize there's a lot of strategery, and then I decided to do none of it. But I did learn. I went on a girls' trip last fall with and one of my other girlfriends is several years older than me, and she has very black hair naturally, and she had also started the process, and she was showing me like this guy on Instagram who adds like gray highlights to make it look like, so basically so that you never have an awkward, ugly duckling grow out phase.
Yeah.
And there is a ton of strategery that's possible, or people will lighten their hair so that it looks like you're like, oh, you're just adding highlights. You're going from a medium brown to a light brown. Oh, you're almost going blonde. And then pretty soon, like you're really letting your gray grow in. But to the outside observer, it looks like more just a series of, you know, maybe lightening rather than like from brown to gray. So I did kind of learn about all of that. And then I just decided that for me, what I wanted to push through the ugly duckling phase, and I wanted to see what my gray pattern was. And I, other than haircuts, which we'll get into in a minute, but I decided not to do anything with color where I was having a stylist help me make it less awkward. I opted out of that.
You wanted the awkward.
I just was like, well, I wanted to not be going into the salon and not be dyeing my hair. That was part of it.
Right.
So then like, why would I now sign myself up for more money and time in a salon? I mean, I understand. I shouldn't say why would I understand why people do that. I just decided not to.
Okay. Well, you did just get an amazing haircut and I want to talk about that. But first I just want to say that I feel like if I were you, where you are right now, you know, 5 inches of hair on your head, that's gray. There might be part of me that would be tempted just to cut all the rest of it off and be done with it. You know, be like,
totally.
If I cut it all off, then I'm done. So I'm curious if there's been any part of you that's wanted to do that. And what this latest really cute haircut, like represented for you. It feels kind of like the haircut that made the gray real for me. When I see it, it made it a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll answer that in two ways. First of all, yes, it's very tempting as you start to see the length to just chop off as much as you can and then be done. And I'm not there yet. This is going to take a while. And I don't like the look of myself with short hair. And I know that about myself, but I did, I think, two different chops in the last year before this most recent chop, where my hair was really, really long. And I actually had some really old kind of balayage highlights at the very end. So my first haircut was like, let's just cut 3 or 4 inches off the end. So that, cause it was what I was feeling like. It was like gray at the roots. Then it was dark brown. And then there was this like blonde business at the very end. And I was like, this is too much. So the first chop was to get rid of that. And then, you know, my hair was still maybe past my shoulders. Then that grew out. And I think I did another like chop it past my shoulders, because every time you get rid of that dead weight on the end, yes, you are that much closer to having the gray be the majority of your hair. So I think I had done two chops that really were just about getting dead stuff off the end. Like you're talking about high school hair, like not a style, just like, let's just get healthy. And so I think I don't remember when, but I think I had done that twice. And then the cut you're talking about most recently, and we will share photos. I, in an auction at a school gala auction, I won a gift card to this salon locally. And I was like, well, I'm going to use this gift card and I'm going to go in. And I walked in and I sat down and I met Ariel, is her name. She was so cute and stylish. She's probably 10 years younger than me. So younger than me, but not 20. She's a mom of a toddler. So she kind of like understood the mom thing. She immediately recognized, obviously, the gray grow out, like, okay, we're doing this. And I said, you know, I think I'm ready for some layers around my face, maybe some shorter like face framing. I'm not sure. And she just like had opinions and took charge. And I cannot tell you how much I love that in a stylist. Maybe for some people, it would be the opposite, that you'd feel like, oh no, like this person is like, doesn't know me. I just met them. And now they have all these opinions. When I go in, I really want someone who feels like, I know what's going to look good on you. And I feel like she kind of sized up my vibe, my style. Like, obviously I'm a mom in my mid 40s. I'm not the most cutting edge, but I'm also like, I try, like, I like to dress cute. I like to do my hair. And I think she got that right away. And I said to her, she had short bangs. She has dyed red hair and short bangs. And I was not going to do bangs, but around her bangs, she had like kind of shaggy face framing layers. And then she had it curled really cute. And I was like, honestly, I kind of like what you've got going on there. And she's like, yep, I really think this can work, blah, blah, blah. And she just took over, took charge. And so we did much shorter layers around my face than I've had in years. I'm not going to say bangs, because the shortest ones are about, if I pull them down, they're about to my chin. So that's not like, it's not really bangs. But for me, who loves to pull my hair back, like it's more hair around my face than I've had in a very long time. And to your point, this is a very long way of getting to the fact that for the gray, that's most of it. So there's finally like there's some parts of my hair that are mostly gray. I think the very, very tips aren't. But if you picture those, like the hair that grows from your forehead, so what would be grown out bangs, those are mostly gray now. And so when I style it, it really is like face framing silver. And I was so happy with that cut. And then she told me about the curling iron she uses, which is just, it's tapered instead of the normal one. And I just bought it off Amazon. It wasn't very expensive. I learned how to use it. And so, yes, that has been a huge confidence boost just in the last month or so.
It looks almost like a curtain bang, but a curtain bang that is like you got 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like it looks like grown out bangs. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks intentional. Mm-hmm. And I really, really like it. And yes, the gray is implemented. Mm-hmm. It's not like you've got some hair that's gray and you're trying to figure out how to make it work with your old hair. It's like it is. It's like it's embodied. Yes. Okay. So what has been like the best part of about this whole process? Because you so intentionally chose it. Now you've done it. Would you do it again? And if so, what was the best part?
Well, I feel like I'm mid process. I'm definitely not done. But a couple of things have been really fun. One, people like to talk about it. And I actually get people asking me, strangers or people I know, kind of like moms at school or whatever. I had a really sweet experience very early on with a mom at school who was like, I didn't know her at all. And she was like, oh my gosh, like you're growing out your hair. It looks so good. And I was like, an inch, maybe like a 3/4 of an inch in. And I was like, yeah, really self-conscious. She's like, I'm so gray. I've thought about it. I think she's from Turkey originally. And she's like, my friends and family back home are like, don't do it. But then people in the States are embracing it. And we just like bonded. And every time I saw that mom, like every month or so at school, we'd be like high-fiving. And she did it. Like she did it kind of not because of me, but really like our conversation. She's like, I've been on the fence. Yours looks so good. And then she decided to do it. So there is this kind of sisterhood that people love to talk about it or they'll notice it. So that has been really, really fun. I already talked about this like satisfaction in seeing my natural body change in a way that's like so interesting. Like I feel like it's like a science experiment on my head that's constantly changing. Mm-hmm. So that part is really fun. And then, yeah, this last style has really been, I guess, re-energized me. I've been drying it and curling it and styling it more often and feeling good. I do think there was like a little lull where I was not feeling quite so hot about it. But yeah, I do feel re-energized. So there's been lots of fun parts.
So a few weeks ago, I was sending you a message about a YouTube fitness person. Mm-hmm. That I've been doing her workouts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was going to just like off the top of my head say like, she's probably in her 50s or, you know, something like that. And then I was like, well, wait, she's got gray hair, but is she in her 50s? I really have no idea because she looks amazing. She's in amazing shape, but she doesn't wear makeup and she let her hair go gray. Right. Yeah. So it's sort of that the cultural tell we all have of what age bracket to slot people in is getting all shaken up. And I'm going to guess you've had some feelings about that. That might've been some of the not so great parts of like how this process has gone. So first of all, I want to know what the not as great parts have been, because I'm sure there's also been a lot about the awkwardness of any grow out.
Yeah.
But also have there been times where you're like, but I just don't know if people know how old I am or uh-huh. I don't know how old I'm supposed to look. I could see that being kind of confusing.
Yes. I do think there's some of that for sure. I do live in an area where natural gray is pretty common where I am at different ages. So I do notice young people who are like also going gray, and I don't feel like the only one, but you're right. It is like, it's the immediate indicator of like, you're not faking it anymore. Remember in all our discussions about like age and aging, how like you've talked about how there's like an age at which you can still like fake young and then
you can
just,
pass.
You just can't anymore. So one of the things that's truly feels like a bummer sometimes and like a confidence killer is, so this is where I'll get into some of the details around gray patterning. Everybody's gray pattern is different. I talked about how my part is not where I have the most of it. For a lot of people, if they start to grow out, their part looks like a skunk, right? Like if you part your hair down the middle or on the side, And you see that very clear demarcated line of where the gray is growing and then the dye starts. And people I know have a lot of deal with a lot of self-consciousness around that skunk line part. So I don't have that. And so there's a lot of upsides to that because my part, and there's a picture that I can share, and Megan, you're kind of looking at, like the top of my head is very salt and pepper, but there's plenty of brown. You can see strands of silver, but it's not all silver. Where I am completely white, like white, is all around the front of my hairline. So along my forehead, which means that when I pull my hair straight back into a ponytail or a bun, you're seeing all white. So I go for, when my hair is down, I look like a person with salt and pepper brown hair. And now, like we've talked about, some kind of silver face framing business. When my hair is pulled straight back, I look like the grandma emoji from, you know, like the emoji with the bun, because you can't see all the brown. All the brown is hidden in the bun or whatever. And I sent you this, I don't know that I'll share this picture, but I sent you a picture of me and my dad this summer next to each other. My dad has a great head of hair, but it's all white. And mine is pulled
straight
back. I'm like,
you look exactly like your dad.
I just look like my dad. I look 25, 30 years older. And what you get in a two-dimensional, like looking straight at me straight on, it makes it look like I am Mrs. Claus. Like you don't get any of the salt and pepper. You don't get any of the brown. You don't get any of the cute styling. And the part that's hard about that is I'm still a busy mom. I still want to throw my hair up in a messy bun sometimes, as we discussed. And if I don't have, and then you add things like if I've just woken up, if I don't have any makeup on, if I happen to be wearing a sloppy outfit, I feel like I can age 30 years very shockingly quickly. And part of it is where all of that white hair is growing on me. Like I said, there's some upsides because I don't have the skunk line part at all that so many people struggle with. So it's just, pros and cons. But that is a part where I can look in the mirror sometimes and be like, oh, gee Louise. And it's just so, it's so extreme. And then if I style my hair and it's down and cute, I think I look great. The chasm in between has gotten wider.
I will say, really, I don't have gray hair really at all, just in my temples. And it is very different on blondes. I think there has been something that's happened to me in the last 2 years where a ponytail does not look good on me anymore, even though I'm not gray. There's something too severe about it. It takes too much off of my face and puts it. And then again, like, for me, it's the widow's peak or the hairline situation.
Yeah.
Maybe it pulls my skin too hard. I don't know what it is, but even taking away the gray hair, there's just something about a straight back hair thing.
You're right.
It's not working for me anymore. I have noticed that there's ways to make it better, like a bright lipstick or earrings, like dangly earrings make a huge difference, or face framing pieces. So all that might work for you, even if you, then it would look like your dad wearing earrings. and having long face framing layers. But you know what I mean? Like, it's like, then you add on the gray and I can only imagine how much it would amplify.
Well, let's talk really briefly about those face framing pieces, because what I like from a sensory perspective, really have always wanted my hair off my face. And it's the, of course I was a dancer. And so I was very used to that. And so I've always loved the look on other people of like, okay, let's say you're doing a ponytail. Well, now let's pull a few out so that it's not so severe. And I love that look on other people. Until this haircut, I would try to do it, but then I would want to pin them back. I would want to tuck them behind my ear. And something about, well, it might just be the psychology we're talking about, which is I just really don't like the way I look with a straight back severe ponytail. And then the cut that she gave me is so cute and I can easily pull those pieces out and it looks so much better. So cute. So I think this is another thing that finally it's just the right time where those pieces don't drive me crazy, but it's been until I'm 43 years old.
Well, and it looks like they're the right thickness too. Yep. They're not too long and it's not going to be like a big hank of hair. It's going to be like the right amount of hair.
Yep. When she was cutting and she wanted to go a little shorter right in the front, when she was doing the cut and she's like, I think it's going to look great if we go a little shorter. And she's like, but do you need to be able to pull this back in a ponytail? And I was like, nah. And then we both were like, we almost said the same thing. We were like, that's what bobby pins are for. Like, it's not, it's not the end of the world. It'll grow. And so I'm so glad that I greenlit her to go as short as she did. And now I'm already, it's been a month or so. I'm already thinking like, yeah, when I go back, I really need that grown out bangs look because it polishes or finishes the situation.
You know, it's so funny. I had a thick straight across blunt bang right before the pandemic and loved it.
I remember it was so cute.
And then of course, didn't get my hair cut at all during COVID, during the early stages of COVID. I don't think I went back for a haircut to like a year and a half. By that point, all of my hair was way grown out. And it almost feels now like gutsier to do the bang again, which is so stupid. Like, I don't look that much older than I did 3 years ago, or four, I guess now, but like it feels, I don't know, like it just feels like a more youthful cut or something and more daring than what I've been doing. And so part of me wants to kind of go back to the bang or like you did intentionally cut in some side pieces.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a longer, like a wave.
Okay, Megan. Well, over here at the Mom Hour, we are big fans of our sponsor, Our Place. In fact, you, me, and our team member, Katie, were all comparing notes on our favorite product. Katie was telling us that even though she's packing up to move her family to a new house, she cannot put that mini perfect pot from Our Place into the boxes yet because she's using it like every night.
Well, as someone who also has a perfect pot, I got mine as part of their mini home cook duo set. I get it. It's nonstick, which is key, but it also has all these handy features like a steam release lid with a built-in strainer and this nice beechwood spoon that nests on the handle in this perfect little peg.
Okay, well, I didn't get this pot, but now I want it. That sounds so great. Our Place's cookware is great to cook with, beautiful to look at, and healthier for us as well. All of Our Place's products are made without PFAS, also known as forever chemicals. In addition to their cookware and tableware, Our Place is also making waves with their Wonder Oven, the most stylish all-in-one air fryer and toaster oven. Again, free from the forever chemicals found in many of those air fryers.
Listeners, Our Place offers a 100-day trial with free shipping and returns, and we've got a great deal for you. Go to fromourplace.com and enter the code MOMHOUR at checkout to receive 10% off site-wide. That's fromourplace.com, code MOMHOUR. Sarah, our sponsor, Hiya Health, makes a kid's daily multivitamin that parents can feel great about giving their kids because they have no added sugars or dyes. And our kids who have tried Hiya vitamins have loved them, which is important, right? Because what good is a bottle of vitamins that your kid won't take?
Hiya was founded by two dads who didn't like the ingredients label on some of the popular children's vitamins they were seeing on store shelves, so they got to work developing a formula that would help fill the most common nutrient gaps in modern kids' diets. Hiya's chewable kids' vitamin is made with a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables and then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals. They're also vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free.
Hiya manufactures their vitamins right here in the USA with globally sourced ingredients, and then they ship their chewable vitamins directly to your door on a pediatrician-recommended schedule. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. You're going to get 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, go to hiyahealth.com/momhour. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/momhour and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. So Sarah, you said you don't feel done yet. And of course, with only 5 inches of gray and many more inches on your head, I can't really do that math, but it looks like you still have a good ways to go. When do you feel like the transition itself will be over? Like you might still have some brown hanging out there at the end, but you'll feel more gray than not gray.
Yeah. And I'm sure that'll happen in stages. Like we've said, this last cut definitely feels like a leap forward. When I follow the gray influencers on the Instagram, and I followed a bunch initially, and now I just have a couple who show up in my feed. I think that 2 to 3 years is pretty common to, depending on how long you wear your hair. And if you do like a big chop, let's say, you get a cute bob, that's obviously you're going to be able to jump to the finish line that way. But I think most people say somewhere between 2 and 3 years. And I think that that makes sense for me. So I'm coming up on 1 year. There's a lot of brown left. But now we're starting to see what that brown looks like. I really like that you can see the strands of silver in all the other parts of my head, not the face framing that we've talked about, but the rest. I feel like, oh, I see how this is going to look. And it took a year really to get to that point. So I think 2 to 3 years is probably about accurate. I don't think there's a haircut in my future that's shorter than shoulder length, just because I really don't love that look on me. So yeah, for me, it's going to be on the longer end of that because I'm not going to like decide to do a humongous chop. And then, you know, the people I've followed online, I think will even like some of them will say it's been 5 years, and the people saying it's been 5 years are really going for a really long, like, if you're wearing your hair long and you want the gray to go to the very ends, it's probably more like 4 or 5 years. So it's a long time, but there's a point at which, yes, to the casual observer, you no longer are in the ugly duckling stage.
Okay. So I have a twofold question for you. Okay. And I'll answer the same question. What is something you're doing right now with your hair, whether it's like a new product or I don't know, a technique or something that's really working? And then maybe what's something that you'd like to figure out?
Yeah.
How to do better.
Yeah. Okay. So really, really working for me is only washing my hair once every, I'm going to say 5 days, ideally.
Dang it, Sarah, that was my answer.
Oh, well, we can both talk about it. Yeah.
Okay. Mine was every 4, but
yeah,
yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I think sometimes I do 4. I'm not militant about it. I don't like necessarily count, but the rhythm is about every 4 to 5. And we had this sponsor, Gemist, a few years ago that you and I both really liked. It was like one of those customized shampoo, conditioner, like fill out a quiz and get personalized hair care. They, I believe, went completely out of business, I'm pretty sure. And that was sad. But I used them for a couple years. And then I tried Pros a few months ago, which is just a popular one. They are not currently sponsoring this podcast, but that would be cool if they did. And I was a little skeptical because it's pricey and the bottles that arrive are not very big, but it's the same idea. You fill out the quiz and where you live, what the water's like where you live. And I was able to say about the gray grow out and all of that. But the first shampoo and conditioner bottle has lasted me more than 3 months, almost 4 months. And it's a small bottle. So I was impressed by that. And I think it's partly due to only washing my hair every 4 or 5 days. And so I'm really liking that product. And then back to something we said at the very beginning, I'm really trying to style my hair, making it look cute so I feel confident once within 24 hours of the hair wash. Sometimes I let it air dry and it's like not super cute for a day. But then if I usually flat iron it and then curl it, and then I'm happy for like 4 to 5 days. Yeah. So that is what's working. I'm not saying I'm doing it every time, but it's working.
Okay. Well, it's funny because as you were talking, I was thinking the one thing I think is working for me is that I'm washing my hair in pretty infrequently, like twice a week. You know, it works out sometimes on the third day and then on the fourth day, but it's typically twice a week. And I think that's working great. Everything else is not. Right now, I'm not in a good hair spot. And I feel like there's a few things that came out of your answer that I would like to emulate. One is I would like to build in some like pleasurable routines around my hair product situation again. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's been times in the past I've been really good about that. Like I have a shampoo and conditioner I love to use and I use them in the right intervals, or I have a hair mask that I use once a week or something like that. Something where my hair doesn't feel like such an afterthought.
Yeah.
Right now it feels like a bit of an afterthought. So I'm not thrilled about that. And I think that's something, like I have skincare routines that I do very religiously. Like there's a lot of other things I do and my hair has felt a little bit just second fiddle for a while. So there's that. I would like to figure out, like, I really love the idea of styling it once all the way to get you through like 4 days, because I feel like that gets me longer. I'm then satisfied with my hair longer. I think it's too long right now. I think that's why I'm not doing it. It's just gotten kind of long and like, and I think if I just trimmed like 2-3 inches off, it'd be a more manageable length. And then I'd want to do that again. But right now, even when I curl it or whatever, I'm not even happy with the results even right when I do it. And I think it's just gotten too long and it's not serving me at that length. Like, what am I trying to prove?
Right.
You know,
right.
It was for a while. I was like, ooh, is this rush to how long can I grow my hair? And I think I've realized this long, this is how long I can grow it.
Yeah. I think that sounds like it makes sense. Like a fresh cut would probably enliven that routine.
Yeah. And then really to stick with this, not to like cancel my next appointment because I don't feel like going and sitting in the chair, the next one where I'm supposed to get high. Cause last time she just did low lights. And I think this next time she's going to do highlights and low lights. I need to keep that appointment and stick to this routine, because it could easily be just wasted. Like if I don't go and then I'm like, oh, I hate my roots and I'm just going to touch them up, I've undone so much of the work.
You're kicking the can farther down the road. Like you're just borrowing trouble. No, it's the opposite of borrowing trouble. You're giving yourself trouble later.
Yeah, exactly. And then I have one other thing. I got a really expensive curling iron. I was influenced to purchase it. It's one of those, like a wand style, I think, where I don't even think it has a clampy thing. Yeah. And you do it in reverse somehow. It's the Time, T-Y-M-E.
Okay, I remember that one.
I think it's the same one. I think it's the one that doesn't have the clamp. Maybe I'm mixing those two up. But anyway, it's supposed to be used a very specific way. I took it over to Jenna's house. I had her do it for me once. It took us a long time to figure it out. Then I could never do it myself. And I just left it at her house, like out of sort of frustration. I just left it there and didn't even bring it home and have never looked at it again. I felt so mad at myself about spending so much money on it and like never figuring it out that I basically just abandoned it. And I want to go get it because it looks like a cool tool. And I bet if I watched the videos a few times, I think they even have a phone number you can call.
Yeah.
And they'll like talk you through it.
Honestly, you just have to practice. So I really love both straightening and curling my hair. By the way, I did neither of those things for like, I don't know, 15 years. Like, so I had a long season of motherhood where I was never heat styling my hair. But in the last 5 to 7 years, I really enjoy it. I don't love blow drying my hair. So I don't give myself like a blowout very often. I really prefer not to. I don't like the noise and I don't like the blowing air. So I will let my hair air dry and then do flat iron and curling iron. And you just get better after lots of trial and error. So I also got a new curling iron after this haircut. And I was like, what in the world do I do with this? It's very different, but now I like it. So just practice. That's my little pep talk. Just do it. And it'll look bad a few times and then you'll get better.
Well, and it's like, I just looked at a picture so I could remind myself. It's not the wand style and it's not the non-clamp style. What it is there's two halves that like split differently. Uh-huh.
Yes, I remember these videos on Instagram.
It's not even that it will look bad if I don't do it right. It won't do it I don't do it. You know what I mean? Like you have to twist your arm a totally different way. And you know me and spatial reasoning.
Yeah.
I'm watching this video going like, what is even I don't even know how to move my arm. It's probably like braiding your own hair. You don't want to look in the mirror while you're braiding your own hair.
Yeah, you have to feel it.
You have to feel it. So you're right. I should just learn how to use the tool. So that's my goal. I'm going to create a pleasurable hair routine that involves products I like that smell good because that's important. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cut a few inches off. I'm going to stick to my professional highlighting and low light lighting schedule. And I'm going to figure out how to use this curling iron.
That sounds like a really good plan. I would recommend also podcasts and audiobooks while you are styling. I find that so, like, I enjoy the straightening curling part of hairstyle because I always have something really good to listen to. So I would add that in there. I didn't answer the part about something I want to try or haven't tried yet. And for me, I think now that I am a year in, it would be really good for me to learn a little bit about gray hair specific at-home products, things like color toning and heat protection. And the Pros shampoo and conditioner has been great, but there are definitely things that will help the white and the silver parts from getting yellow. And like, it's just a different type of color protection and heat protection and also texture because gray hair is coarser. So I feel like when I first started following all the Instagrammers, there was a lot of those kind of product recommendations, but I was like, yeah, I don't really have the gray hair yet. I'm just at the beginning. So I think that would be a next step for me. And if anyone out there has good recommendations, I think that would be fun for me to try some, whether it's a mask or like a deep conditioner or something that is really for gray haired folk like me.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like, Megan, this was an awful lot of talking about the hair on our head without showing any visuals. So we will find a way to show some pictures. I fully admit I still am a little self-conscious of just putting hair pictures like on the internet. I don't know why, but I'll definitely put them in our Facebook group and probably in Instagram stories, maybe the show notes so that you can see what we're talking about. And I don't know if you have any. Well, you have some pretty hair pictures from around your wedding and stuff. But if there's anything you want to share.
I really liked my wedding hair. I should mention that was a perfect, like, loose braided updo that Jenna did and had curly bits around my face.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And I really liked it. But that's very different from throwing my hair in a clip.
In the closet.
Turns out.
The everyday.
But yes, I'm sure I can share some pictures. And honestly, I'm not sure that I would share a picture of the way my hair looks pulled straight back with no help because I hate it so much. But if you have hair, you can imagine. You can visualize what that looks like. Yeah. So funny.
So we will find a place to share those because we know this is hard to visualize for a whole 45 minutes of talking about our hair. Well, this was really fun. Thanks everybody for cheering me on. I have gotten lots of nice messages from you all. Anytime I have shown my face, and there are others out there doing it too. So cheering each other on. That is, that's it for the hair discussion. Megan, what you got going on?
Well, I just wanted to, well, that's all I've got going on, Sarah, is hair.
That's it.
That, and I'm planning a retreat. So I would love for people to check out reinventretreat.com. I am having a live retreat in Southwest Michigan and virtually this October 20th through 22nd. There's also an early bird option if people just can't get enough of Southwest Michigan. The time of year, it is quite, quite beautiful. You can find out more about that at reinventretreat.com. And there is a special discount of 15% if you use the code MOMHOUR, and that is going on through August 30th. So you want to jump on that.
Yeah, definitely jump on that. I can't believe October is already like a that month close. That we're talking about soon. Crazy. Well, we will be back with you in your ears, in your podcast feeds a week from today, next Tuesday. And we'll talk to you then.
Talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to The Mom Hour. Everything we talked about in today's episode is available at themomhour.com. And hey, while you're there, you can find more than 500 podcast episodes, plus articles, playlists, and resources about motherhood and parenting at every stage.
And if you like today's episode, we'd love it if you would take a minute to share the show with another mom in your life. You can also find us on Instagram at The Mom Hour, chatting and interacting with listeners between episodes.
Thanks for being here, friends. We'll talk to you soon.
The Mom Hour is supported by partners like Erica. Erica is the social media health app for teens that gives them the tools to unplug when they need to for improved health, study focus, sleep, and daily balance.
Erica was built by a dad of three boys who saw that teens themselves were really becoming self-aware to the risks of social media, and he wanted to help them self-regulate. Erica works to hide distracting apps from your phone at the touch of a button, keeping them out of sight and out of mind without deleting your data.
Tell your teens about Erica and save 20% on the Erica family plan with promo code THEMOMHOUR. Go to erica.app and search for plans. That's Erica with a K, Erika.app, and use code THEMOMHOUR to save 20%. Sarah, I have been having just the best time making my new podcast, The Tea's Made. I launched back in November, and so far I've covered topics like staying warm on cold winter walks, nurturing creativity, how to be a great host, and even Nordic secrets to loving winter.
Well, you know I am fan number one of The Tea's Made. It's got such a cozy vibe, and it seems like you've really hit your stride in covering topics like wellness, self-care, comforting rituals and routines, and home and family life.
Just look for The Tea's Made with Megan Francis wherever you get your podcasts, or head to theteasmade.com to find all the episodes.